Okay, so I'm going to try and talk about the second and third noble truths. Second noble truth, dukkha arises in dependence on craving, so wanting, which is the flip side of not wanting, aversion. Third noble truth, dukkha ceases in dependence on the ceasing of craving, so conditionality. So basically, conditionality underpins all of the actions. It's kind of the root teaching, and all of them are an expression of it. And this was the Buddha's first talk when he explained the Four Noble Truths. So it was kind of his first example of conditionality. So what's been pointed to here is that this experience of dukkha is arising from our resistance to how things are. It's wanting things to be a certain way that they aren't, not wanting how they are. So the fact that they're changing, uncontrollable, painful, it's resistance to that. So dukkha is both sort of basic painful sensation and then the resistance to it, the aversion to it, the avoidance of it. And it's often that the resistance is the bigger part. So another quote from Sangharakshita, who says, "It is by trying too hard to escape from unhappiness that we fail to do so." By trying too hard to escape from unhappiness that we fail to do so. So there's a kind of paradox there. Freedom from suffering comes from not needing or seeking freedom from suffering. So I think with dukkha it's actually a bit more complex than it can sometimes appear. There's this little paradox there at the heart of it. So you've got the first noble truth that suffering is inevitable. Second and third truths are pointing to the possibility of freedom from suffering. So those two, how do those two come together? They come together in this paradox, I think. That freedom from suffering comes from not seeking freedom from suffering. So to say a bit more about how we do this, or an example of how we do this, resisting of our painful experience, denying it, resisting it, avoiding it, and thereby compounding the dukkha, adding another layer. I've got an example from a few days ago. I hit my head on the door of the yurt, so it's a bit lower than a house door. So immediately, quite a lot of judgments came in. So that wasn't very mindful, and I felt a bit stupid and shamed and annoyed. And Padma Darshini was in the yurt, and I thought, I can't quite remember how it went, but it was something like, I bet Padma Darshini wouldn't do that. Because she's more of
time.
Anyway, that was my thought. There she is. She's super embodied. I'm not very embodied. I think I even thought something like, oh, she probably thinks I'm really clunky and not embodied. So this is what we do, isn't it? This is what we do. And there's this lovely word in Buddhism, prapancha, which means this proliferation. So, yeah, adding layer and layer. And Jutika was describing it with a focusing. Yeah, there's resistance to experience, and there's resistance to resistance, and that resistance, on it goes. Yes. So, I think that's a bit of an example of how I have to really watch not using the Dharma to give ourselves a hard time, not using practice to give ourselves a hard time. It's so easy to do that. And we've got enough things really that we can give ourselves a hard time about. So practice is supposed to be for our benefit. So I think it's really important to try and just, easier said than done, but always use practice in the spirit of kindness if we possibly can.